Hello, America, and to our few remaining friends around the world. Hopefully, we can change that back. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have Jake Bell on with us today. And we're going to be talking about everything from Iran to refused subpoenas to Scott Bessent's new plan, what India's doing with pensions. It's really interesting stuff because you better pay attention to the changing economic trends because they're going to dramatically affect you. The old rules may not apply in every situation. So hopefully you're going to take this program very seriously and apply the information that you learn. Jake, good to have you on the show. And my goodness gracious here, I wish we had something to talk about. This is, it's funny, when I started in radio, I used to have a news director, and one of her jobs was to go try to hunt studies or stories for us to talk about, look at. And now it's like there's so much, I just can't even begin to cover hardly any of it.
Well, Dave, thanks. Glad to be back. And yeah, it's pretty easy to find a headline to discuss. And I guess the biggest one, the easiest one that we should start with is what's going on with Iran. I was on your show, oh, I don't know, probably about a month ago now, and I think we brought it up as an honorable mention. And I didn't think it would last this long. We kind of all saw that it was on, but I'm not too worried about it's been a couple weeks. Both administrations, the Iranian regime and the current Trump administration, they're telling different stories. They're both saying that they're winning. So who do you believe? Well, I think it's pretty clear that Trump has the upper hand in all this. Military action as of yesterday, or maybe the day before, has ceased for 5 days. Negotiations are in progress and apparently going well, according to
Good.
Trump's Truth Social account. And again, it does come down to who you believe. I tend to think the Iranian regime is really scuffling here. I don't know how. Do you have any thoughts on that, Dave? Do you think that they have any credibility with this battle that's going on? Do they have any hope of winning?
No, I think their hope is they can outlast us, kind of like a Vietnam scenario. As long as they keep fighting, they have hope for we will one day get discouraged and quit. The one thing I will say on their behalf, though, we don't have the air superiority we thought we had with regard to us being untouchable. The Israelis have lost three F-35s. We've lost one. I've heard an F-15 went down today. It's not like these are huge losses, but the Iranians have pretty good equipment. But I think their only hope, Jake, is to keep the war going through asymmetrical means like they're doing and just hope that we give up and quit or just give in to them.
I think that's exactly right. And the pushback that the administration is getting seems to dovetail with that exact notion that it just wants to be stretched out and delayed.
I will share with you one thing I've learned, and this is because I've had the right connections in my background. We have, I don't want to call them secret weapons, but the public will think they're secret. We have weapons we're going to deploy on the fifth day if Iran doesn't come to settlement, and they will take down the grid. It won't be bombing to take the grid down. It'll be localized EMP weapons. It'll also be directed energy weapons against coastal defenses on the Strait of Hormuz. And it's something we've never used in combat before. And I've got it on very good authority that we're good to go with this. The hesitation we've had is we don't want to play our hand here if we don't have to, because Russia and China will be taking notes and try to develop countermeasures.
So, well, that's a great point, and that's actually a least invasive option. I'd much rather see an EMP attack rather than blowing up, because I think we're all on the Iranian people's side. I think we're
Exactly.
against the regime, and we don't want unnecessary infrastructure damage. So my synopsis is it's still good for precious metals. I don't think it's going to last much longer. It's gone a little bit longer than I think we all hoped for it, but I'm not the doomsdayer just yet. And so that really sums up what I wanted to cover. If you have any final
Well,
thoughts,
I'd
we
add
can
one
shift
thing. We've
gears.
lost the war if we thought conventional means were going to bring this to an end. This is why I think we're on the verge of employing more technical weapons. And it will compromise us in future conflicts with with China and Russia, like I said. So I think we've had some disappointment and some setbacks on this. And and regardless of whether people think the war is warranted or not, now that we're in it, we better figure out a way to win this war on good terms. But I will say this: in Afghanistan, the CIA armed the Mujahideen with RPGs, and basically they drove the Soviets out of Afghanistan. We should have been doing weapon arming to all the Iranian dissidents, and I think that was a flaw in our strategy.
Agreed. Agreed. And it does, Trump needs good PR on this. We need to figure out a way to close this on good terms for everyone, especially heading into the midterms. And so with
Bingo.
that, I
That's
do want to
exactly
focus a
right.
little more on gold, and I'm not sure how much more I could cover other than conflict is good for precious metals. So I
Yep.
wanted to shift gears and talk about the Fed.
Sure.
Any opening comment, or you want me to dive in?
Well, Jerome Powell has a shelf life, and that's good news for all of us. That's my comment.
Well said. The headlines with the Fed have been that the rates remained the same, which has good and bad associated with it. And as I mentioned to you last time I was on your show, I'm a bit of a hawk. I'm a middle of the road guy, but I lean hawkish, so I have no problem with interest rates remaining the same. Your counterpoint, I remember, which was fantastic, was referring to interest rates for home buyers, which is a big part of that. However, I don't think the interest rate conversation is the most intriguing conversation having to do with the Fed. I think it has to do with the remodel of the historic Federal Reserve building. Now, there were two grand jury subpoenas issued specifically to obtain documents around that remodel. Trump has said that remodel's been $3 billion. Other reports say anywhere between 2.3 to 2.5 billion. That's with a B, as in boy, not million. That is an absurd number for any remodel, even for a historic building. We're talking multi-billions of dollars. I wasn't born last night. I don't know the remodel. You don't have to be a genius to understand that something is wrong here. And here's where the story comes full circle. The U.S. District Judge James Boasberg out of Washington, D.C., he quashed or invalidated those two subpoenas. And his report, the reason why, his justification was that there was, where's my language here? Essentially zero evidence of criminal wrongdoing. He says there's no evidence of that, and that he describes these subpoenas as politically motivated. Okay, how do you justify $2.5 billion in renovation? That is the evidence, and that's what the subpoenas were going for. The subpoenas were looking for the contractual agreements between the Fed and whomever the contractor was. Where was this money spent? That's the criminal evidence. And it's really to seek the evidence needed to prosecute any wrongdoing. Dave, this is the common sense show. Is there any bit of common sense that would tell any rational person that $2.5 billion for a remodel can possibly be justified?
Well, I'll start with the judge and then I'll work my way to the issue. Judge Boasberg, with all respect for his humanity, he is a communist, and I mean that literally and figuratively from his past rulings. He is anti-Trump to the hilt. He has broken judicial procedures and should have been impeached for the rulings he's made against Trump in the past. So he starts out with bias, is what I'm saying, real bias. And it's not professionalism at all. And I'd say this too, with regard to a subpoena, and I'll use an analogy. If I deviate in my financial transactions with my bank very much, I get a suspicious activity report that goes to the IRS and they'll investigate me. Okay, well, this is a deviation of past financial practice. And if you're a steward of the public money, you have an obligation to the American people to see that this is on the up and up. he should have had no problem with that subpoena unless he's covering up something he knows is dirty.
And we're talking about the world's premier central bank,
Yeah, exactly.
right? I'm having trouble describing how asinine this saga is. Why should we not look into, I mean, if I give it any building, say some egregious number, $300 million to remodel, right? That's still $2 billion over budget. There's no way that this could be even close. And your analysis of Boesberg, I think, just brings it all home. And isn't it just delectable how someone who is so clearly politically biased in this judge claims that these subpoenas are nothing but political theater themselves? Drives me absolutely crazy, Dave.
Yeah, but he's not the final authority, and I would hope that the Trump administration has appealed this to the Supreme Court because they're being stewards of the public money. I'll give you an example, the remodel of the White House. Okay, that's completely above board and being done with private funds, and it's all been disclosed where the money comes from. And the public has a right to know how the money's being spent. And for the judge
It's
to
our
do
money.
this is saying you American people have no right for oversight. So I
Boils
have,
me up.
yeah, but it's Boesberg. I mean, it's he. Well, first of all, Congress has dropped the ball, and I'm going to lay the blame on them. They have the ability to defund a judge if they feel he's acting unconstitutionally, which he has repeatedly. They could have defunded him. They also could have impeached him. And the fact that they do nothing and continue to let it get away with this is unconscionable. And it's a simple majority to do it. So the House of Representatives could have done it.
It's disappointing. Well, before I start beating my head against the wall, I think we should shift gears again. I know that we got a bit of a time crunch here, so if you don't mind, I want to bring up and talk a little bit about India. So,
They're at the center of a lot of stuff going on. Yep.
especially with precious metals. So, last December, they finally agreed. They came to terms on opening up their internal pensions to for the first time be allowed to invest into precious metals. And this is big. Now they agreed to it in December, and I believe it opens up in April. I think it's after the first quarter of this year. So we're right around the corner from potentially, I believe the numbers are close to 2 billion, 1.7, 2 billion, somewhere in there, of new capital opening up for precious metal investing, which is big. It's not to be underscored. Now, the reason I bring this up is because my clients hear me talk about macro conditions quite often. And this is just the next step. So, over the last 5 years, anyone paying attention to the space have seen the government and central bank buying. Those are the biggest financial institutions in the world. They've been doing essentially nothing but acquiring precious metals. I think the only government to sell any gold recently happened. It was Russia to help fund the war that they're in. So, other than that, it has been nonstop buying by governments and central banks. Well, this is just the next tier in because you have these pension funds, you have these government-controlled funds. You have hedge funds here at home, but obviously this is a world matter, who have been chomping at the bit and because of legal regulation haven't been able to tap into it. And so this is just again the next step. And where this goes from here, the step beyond that is, I'm sure plenty of your audience is well aware of the importance of precious metals, but it is still a niche investment. It is not part of the mainstream. We're nowhere close. I don't even think we're over 15% of the US population that's invested into precious metals. Once it starts to permeate through the levels of investment, which India opening up, and I know that there's talks of doing it with our 401k programs, which of course are restricted to employer-sponsored investments, usually through, target dates, bond mixtures, S&P 500, so on and so forth. This is exciting for precious metals and how it is just the trajectory we've been on. This is the macro trajectory that I talk about with my clients and how it's unavoidable and how this market's going to continue to grow.
Sure. You're totally spot on from my perspective. The one thing I would say about this whole situation, though, I like that India is doing that. And the reason I like it is because what they're saying is their currency is being debased by world conditions and all the global debt. And that if you tie your pensions to that in a bank setting, you're going to lose money for your investors with their pension worth. If you tie it to an appreciating asset, or at least an asset that maintains value to where it should be, gold, then you've done your pension holders a great favor. And I think what they're trying to do, because who owns pensions in India? It's a little different than America. It's more of an elite process than a common person process in India. And I looked into this and I'm thinking, well, they're keeping their elite happy by good economic practice. I think it's the right thing to do. I wished we would be doing it wholesale across America.
I think we will. I think it's a matter of time. I think there are some important fiscal and monetary policies that are going to change here, perhaps over the next few weeks, even, but let's give us some time and say over a couple months. And that shifts the conversation to the Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent, who's been,
Well, before you go on, can I ask you a question?
sure.
What are you looking at that makes you think we could see a change in the near future?
Scott Bessent. That's
Oh, okay. All right. Good
where I'm
lead
going.
then. Thank you. Good job.
So, for those who don't know, he is the Secretary of Treasury. He is an important man in this administration. And he's been his not maybe most recent interview, but interview that was done a couple of weeks ago. He's been in interviews discussing Federal Reserve reform. And that could mean a lot of things. And obviously, Jerome Powell's at the head of that, and the subpoenas tie into that. But to keynote a specific item, they're talking about implementing a 50-year gold convertible bond, which would apparently be released on July 4th, 2026. And so this would do a couple very important things, not the least of which making our debt a little more attractive, because I think it would put the world on notice as to we are willing once again to back our debt directly by gold, which is the whole point of why we hold 200 and where is it? 260 some odd million ounces. We're the largest holder, although I think China's been trying to catch up.
They are doing a good job of catching up. Does this in effect inflate the value of gold? And if you tie it to the debt, it reduces the real size of the debt?
I think what it's going to inevitably do is streamline gold's catch up to the inflation we've experienced with our dollar.
Okay. So
It's not a bad thing for gold.
it's going to have a real-time barometer effect.
I think it would be pretty instantaneous in how this will be
Okay.
affected. And let me go over a couple points here. So, the first thing, and this ties in with tariffs and what this administration seems to be very keen on, which is making us more self-sufficient, bringing manufacturing back on shore, allowing us to play the world's monetary game on a more even level. It would instantaneously create a level monetary playing field. One of the issues we have, and it ties to the Federal Reserve, is the currency manipulation in squaring off debts with our trade partners. And so implementing a gold standard in this manner puts a level playing field. It's something we've all agreed on over the past, right, thousands of years. And what Scott Bessent has cited on multiple times is that gold cannot have a budget deficit. It cannot have a fiscal problem.
Yes.
And that is why this is so important. And so that is what I'm referring to. This administration isn't just Easter egging monetary and fiscal policy changes. The playbook is out. It's just a matter of when and how it's going to be implemented. It's very clear. Sorry, last point. It's very clear to me that precious metals, gold in the monetary side, silver in the industrial side, is going to be at the heart of everything we're doing as not just as a nation, but as a world. And I think the monetary, the fiscal elements are going to play themselves out here in just the next couple months. again, July 4th is pretty close, and we have a president who has a knack for a panache for the what am I looking for here, Dave? Dramatic flair. And to do something big for our 250th birthday as a nation, I do think that this is all part of the plan. And this is the Secretary of Treasury talking about this. This isn't some Joe Schmo. So again, I think the playbook is out, and I think we're going to see it play out here in a very recent future.
Yeah, you explained it very well. There is one question I have, and it goes to the international scale. If we see, I call it inflating the value of gold, but actually we're inflating the value of the dollar related to the debt if we do the gold backing. What's to keep other nations from doing the same thing and emulating us? Because if we're the only ones that do it, we'll be way ahead of the other nations.
Well, I
But
think that's exactly the point, is there could be some, once other nations catch on and they start doing this, and there's going to be some equilibrium to obtain, and it might take weeks, it might take months, it might take a couple of years, but we're talking about eventually all debt being settled using gold, and gold is going to be equally valued across the board, regardless of currency. And so, yes, we could certainly, we will see other nations follow suit. There will be a dip and a rise and a momentary short couple months, couple different exchanges where it maybe hurts us, hurts our bottom line. But that's just the wakes leveling out. And in a year, perhaps two, if everything is on that gold, I use gold standard pretty delicately, because it means a lot of things to different people. But if the world trade system is predicated off gold, which I hope it is, which I hope all countries do it, that's going to give stability across the board. And then it will be value based on the dollars, and that will be based on a country's growth. And who's going to grow better than us? Nobody.
that's such a good point. It reminds me of the old mercantilism I learned about with colonization and the Spanish conquistadors versus the French versus the British, where they were in a rush to get as much gold as they could in their treasuries. It's a return to that. It's sound money. It truly is sound money. Putin predicted this. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but about 2 years ago, he predicted the US was going to do this if they elected Donald Trump.
Well, he hasn't been shy about talking how the manipulation, again, this ties back to the Fed, of what's going on in with our dollars, how it's funding nefarious things, nefarious entities that are trying to circumvent our republic.
You mean
And
like USAID and what Elon Musk found about with Doge and
correct, and those are just the ones we found out about. Right. And
point.
so
Good point.
there's more that you and I, well, you have some connections that the rest of us aren't privy to. But we're not going to be the fly on the wall. We're not behind the curtain. And so it's very hard to pin some of these things down, but it's also not unreasonable to assume that we've only seen the tip of the iceberg, and that Trump knows where the levers are and what he's going after. And who he's trying to remove from power to bring the power back to the people. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, it's exciting. What will this do to the value of gold? If it's roughly around 5,000, just for sake of argument, what would you expect gold to move to in terms of value?
It's a good question. I think where gold is at currently, with the dollars that have been printed over the last 6 years, with the debt that's been accrued, I think gold's well on its way to doubling up. I don't see any other reason. I don't see how it couldn't hit roughly $9,000-$10,000 an ounce. And I don't pull that number out of thin air. You guys, your audience can go to usdebtclock.org, and over on the right side of that landing page shows a precious metal
Yeah, I've seen it.
to dollar ratio, just based when we had a tether to reality. And last I looked, it had gold at $9,700. So that doesn't answer your question. I just think that's already baked in. We're on that road. It is a one-way road. Now, if we have a huge shift, if we have a fundamental change in how the world financial system is structured, that puts gold exponentially higher. And there are a couple guys, I don't lay claim to this math, but basically, if you take our outstanding debt, which is again, the reason we hold gold is to back our outstanding debt, and divide it by the number of ounces, that puts gold at close to $30,000 an ounce. We could see, I'm not making that claim just yet, but the math is there. It has happened when we've seen revaluation, and we do have this outstanding debt. And so this could be beyond our wildest dreams in return in gold. But a lot of things have to come into place for that to come to fruition. Now,
That's why I
again,
use the term revalue gold, because that's exactly what Putin called this strategy. It may not be the correct technical term, but he used that term. And I actually went forward with this and nobody paid attention, not in my audience. I think it was too early before its time. You know, there's something else that occurred to me too. We're real concerned about losing the petrodollar as the BRICS nations rise. And now we've got India. I think it was China that made a deal with Saudi Arabia. They can pay for oil in their own currency now as opposed to the dollar. And this was problematic. It was troublesome to me. But if we go to this system, the petrodollar becomes a lot less important since we're becoming oil sufficient ourselves.
we're the oil leaders of the world over the last month or so. I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was June 10th, 2024, maybe 2023, where Saudi Arabia no longer required barrels of oil to be purchased in US dollars. And that started permeating throughout the world. And that was something that didn't get nearly enough attention. That was our last tether to reality, as I like to call it, for our dollar. We used to be on the gold standard. That was an absolute peg to reality. When we lost that, we almost simultaneously became the petrodollar because the world had to funnel all to buy oil, you had to transfer your currency into US dollars. And we lost that a couple of years ago, and that was our last tether to reality. And so we have, as everyone knows, a political system which can print and borrow money at no cost, at no penalty to itself. And so we have a professional political class who perpetually sells out the future to pay for the present.
Exactly.
And again, shifting all of this into some form of gold standard, back to a tether to reality, dismantles this entire game and wipes out the funding of all these nefarious programs, of these NGOs, of these USAIDs. So, you know, sorry to shift gears so quickly. Do you have a final thought on that
No,
before I
you're right on a roll here. I couldn't agree with you more.
So I keep saying I want to give honorable mention in this conversation to the SAVE Act, which has been getting a lot of headlines. And the reason I looked into it was because I had a client who told me that the SAVE Act was another piece of political theater that in the small context that this administration was baking in a confiscation clause for gold and silver. That's what I was told. And so that obviously piqued my curiosity instantly, and I had to look it up. Well, my client was incorrect. And what I found, and what I want to share with your audience, because I found it to be simple and I found it to be important. The SAVE Act, the bill that the version I read, which was sitting on Chip Roy's desk at the time, and I don't think it's been changed in the last 2 weeks, was 29 pages. 29 pages, which could be summed up into a paragraph, but it does have a lot of legal verbiage in it. And so it needed to be 29 pages, but there was no fluff, there were no additives. This was about ensuring US citizens voting. It utilizes existing infrastructure. There is no major bill to be footed by the US taxpayer. The pushback of the political establishment is saying that this is going to be too burdensome for people to provide the proof that's necessary, whether that be passports or birth certificate, social security card. And fair enough, it does seem burdensome. But the part that really it made me laugh, Dave, was the people who are claiming that this is going to be too much of an effort for individuals to prove that they are US citizens are the exact same people who riddle our life with red tape. These are the exact same people who never once in their political career said, maybe we shouldn't pass that bill because it's going to make doing business a little bit more difficult. The hypocrisy of the professional politicians never ceases to amaze. But forgive me, let me get back on track
Oh,
here. So
you just hit a home run with that. You're exactly right. I don't know why anyone disagrees with the SAVE Act, since in different places in our legal system, it's already codified. They're just bringing it together under one act and they're giving notice. You will follow the law.
it was really what shocked me. Again, I had to read the whole thing because I believe my client, he made a good argument. And so I looked all the way down. And most of it was just sharpening up some language in the 1993 Voter Registration Act. And so it was closing some verbal loopholes, but I went through every line and I didn't find that little snippet, that little something extra, that little fluff that I was expecting, which, most bills that are passed are what, 1,000 pages
Yeah,
with all sorts of
exactly.
additives that are nonsense. This was as clean of a piece of legislation as I've ever come across. And what it made abundantly clear, which I already knew, anyone against that is the enemy.
Yeah, I
Anyone.
agree. We want fair elections, and only a citizen should be allowed to vote. And if you're not a citizen, you're here. Go through naturalization and then welcome to voting. And you look at any other nation. Jake, this is true for any nation. Every nation, you have to show ID and you have to have proven you were a citizen to vote. And I don't care what nation you're talking about. We're one of the very few that doesn't really enforce that.
I'll wrap it up on this. And here's my conclusion, my synopsis, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. One of the other small pushback items is if it be the onus is put upon the state to determine who should be removed from the voter roll. And if someone is removed, there are, I think, four agencies to which it needs to be reported. And I think it's one of four. I don't think it's all four. But the first one on that list was DHS, ICE. And so what I think Democrats specifically are worried about, blue states, are that voter rolls will be essentially audited. Those names will be sent to ICE. Those people will be removed. In removing part of the population, that is going to lower the House of Representative count for that particular state, which would then subsequently lower the electoral vote for that state.
That's true.
So
Right.
you could pretty easily track how a certain political party in our system would not enjoy losing a significant portion of their voter base.
Well, Chuck Schumer said it this way: we'll lose 20 million voters. Yeah, but here's what he doesn't say: are they legally entitled to vote?
That's perfect political theater by Schumer, stating the truth while inferring some sort of valid moral argument.
Yeah, there's nothing moral about it. You go into a foreign country as someone who's undocumented. If you're an American, you go into a foreign country, you're not going to be treated the same humane way that we've treated people here. And listen, I know the ICE situations in Minneapolis, got raucous. I get that. But overall, we tolerate so much that other nations do not. And that's what the Democrats never talk about that. I don't mind mentioning their party. They never talk about that. Before you go, though, I want to just say this. Jake is employed by NovaGold. He's obviously, you can hear, an expert. And I want to say this too. I got distracted. I meant to say this. I don't agree that there's going to be confiscation of gold and silver. At one time, I thought, well, could it be? But there won't be. And I'll tell you why for two reasons. One, it's too arduous of a task now compared to 1932. And then number two, and the real reason why, is if they start doing crap like that, we're really in trouble economically with the dollar. We're going to start black markets all over the place if precious metals get confiscated, and that'll collapse the economy altogether because that'll be money that'll left the regular economy into the black market economy. So they're not going to do that.
A lot of bad press as well.
Yeah,
I'll take that
exactly.
comment.
They're not going to confiscate precious metals. At one time, I didn't know, but I'm pretty sure of that. But anyway, Jake is with NovaGold, and you've heard me say on my show, I've been a customer for almost 9 years. I've been an advertiser for almost 10. And there's a reason why I have this longevity with NovaGold. The first time I called in and I said, I'm going to buy some gold, I had to almost literally close my own deal. No pressure, just answering my questions. Anything else? Yeah, I'd like to do the deal now. Okay, Mr. Hodges, we can do that for you. That's the experience that people have. And they have the best rates, the best customer service, and they're dependable. Anything you want to add to what I just said?
No, thank you very much for that, Dave. I guess I'll finish on this. If you guys are interested, I'm happy to answer any questions. Give us a call. Our number is 877-646-5347.
Yeah, I'll say it again, 877-646-5347. I could tell you, Jake, this has been a refreshing review of the economy. And I agree with just about everything you said here. I think if the war continues to go on in the form that it is, and we don't make an adjustment like what we've talked about, we're headed for really dark times. But I trust Trump that he's going to make the adjustments that we need to make.
We'll see. Maybe we'll talk it about again here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, feel free to reach out to me if you got any updates because this has been very informative, and I want to thank you for coming on. Always a pleasure to have you.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, few and far between these days. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. We are brought to you by where you need to put your money. If you've come into some sizable money, and I don't mean $500 or $1,000, I mean significant inheritance, lottery, big promotion, windfall on something, what are you going to do with it? Well, you sure as heck shouldn't put it in the bank ever, ever. If you got large money, you keep operating capital in the bank because Dodd-Frank 2010 says they can keep it. So, how would you like to make that money grow like the rich have done for decades? IRS code 7702, mastered by Joe Lombardi, who's never had a better business bureau complaint ever, A plus rating. Joe's people can teach you what to do. And you'll do all kinds of end of life care, insurance, a whole smorgasbord of things, but you're going to create income streams that you won't believe. And it's virtually tax-free because of IRS code 7702. Used to be illegal to advertise how to do this, not any longer. And Joe's jumped on this. He can help you. All you got to do for an introductory conversation, and they'll tell you immediately, can they help you? Or maybe you should look at something else. They're not going to waste your time, and they're certainly not going to pressure you. Go to dhhawk.com. That's Dave Hodges, dhhawk.com. Fill out the information sheet with your contact info, and they'll be in touch with you shortly. And you can be off to the wildest dreams fulfilled you've ever thought you could have. All right, we are looking at the progression of World War III, and we are in an escalation model. Yesterday, I talked about exotic weapons that are being unveiled right now. And they have to do with localized EMP. They're going to take the power grid down, 4 days to go on Trump's warning for that. You've also got directed energy weapons that'll be aimed at coastal batteries, both above ground and underground. Yes, earth penetrating tomography can take these weapons up to 2 miles deep. You say, that sounds familiar. That's right. Same technology that brought us HAARP, HAARP. Remember? Nick Begich, 1990s, produced all the patents. So the technology is not terribly new, but it's new in terms of application for mobilization for war. All right, so what we're looking at, stage one would be where we're at right now, the bombardment phase. While we don't have total air superiority thanks to advanced Russian weaponry, our ships and our planes are vulnerable. Warfare has entered a new phase, and it's helped the asymmetrical or guerrilla warfare side to really gain an advantage upon conventional tactics, which we're using almost exclusively. But at the end of the 5-day warning period that expires in 4 more days, we will see the deployment and use of exotic and secret weapons. If that doesn't turn the noose, and Iran doesn't cry uncle and give up, then the next phase will come in. And this is where it gets scary. The US is locked into a, if they can't find an agreement where Trump can get out of this saving face and we eliminated nuclear weapons from Iran. Kind of sounds like Neville Chamberlain, doesn't it? Anyway, another topic for another time. But if he can't get that kind of an agreement, tactical nukes on suspected sites will be used. Now, this has a lot of tributaries to it. Russia and China could respond immediately against US targets. I'm not sure. Would they engage conventionally? I think you can be assured that the mobilized forces in North Korea will attack in the South. We could begin to see a blockade in Taiwan. Also, I would suspect strongly that we'll see domestic terrorism beyond our wildest dreams. As you know, we had White House advisor, Pentagon advisor, Casey Fleming. Casey's been on the show 3 times now, and Casey has said there are 200,000 spec ops from China housed in this country just awaiting the signal. Did you hear what I said? Advisor, where he advises? This is to be taken very seriously. We covered on this show interdiction with pictures between Border Patrol and Chinese military. Oh, they weren't in their uniforms and they weren't carrying guns, but they produced documents. How does an illegal alien produce a document that gets them released? And they were all military, all men, no kids, no women, military age. They put their backpacks down by the right foot. Many of them stood at parade at rest. I mean, I grew up in military bases. I know what I see when I see it, but I'm not alone in having observed this. They're here. We covered it. And then there's the Iranian terrorists. And then you don't think they're going to network with TDA, MS-13, the Sinaloas, the CJNGs? It'll be a Tet Offensive, as I've talked about many times for many, many years. And we will be going into martial law. Now, I can even give you a partial time frame, not an exact date, but a general idea. The people that I talk to in the know are pretty universal on this. If things go south and the conflict escalates to the level we're talking about, then we're looking at martial law sometime in April. I'm not being definitive on this for a reason, because events have their own life and things can turn. And you can get a midnight settlement out of nowhere, like the Cuban Missile Crisis was a midnight settlement. It looked like there was going to be a naval confrontation, nuclear war to follow. Didn't happen. We might get the same kind of break. After the tactical nukes and the conventional war started, when the losing side says, well, this isn't good. That's when you get the submarine launches of nuclear weapons, and that's when it gets serious. We're on a very dangerous path. This is why, in a backup, I knew these things before they happened because of the people I talked to. I knew the progression. This is why I said we can't allow Israel to drag us into this war. And this is why I stayed on the TPUSA story for so long. And you need to hear this and hear this clearly. TPUSA is, they went from where Charlie was taking them away from Netanyahu, pivoting away from us, being a puppet to their foreign interests, to he's gone. His wife in name only. Is that a wino? Wife in name only. Anyway, when the wino took over, total 180 shift. All the Zionist donor money returned. And this became a Zionist organization. And at the time Charlie was killed, and I started to unfold things, and I thought, I can't support TPUSA any longer. It took me about 2 to 3 weeks. And then I realized what Erica Kirkham is and was. And I just said, this cinches it. And then Zach DeGregorio and Danks began to blow things up with their finances. And I go, not only are they not loyal to America First, they're engaged in a lot of nefarious activities. And that's why I stayed on this, but it led me to the Zionist influence that permeates Congress, makes Ted Cruz, listen to this, these are quotes. When I got elected to the Senate, Tucker Carlson, I thought it was my first mission to protect Israel. Not protect America, not protect American interests, to protect Israel. And I thought, oh my goodness. This is why I stayed on the TPUSA thing, because it got me ready to understand this and I could really kind of fix a schematic of what's going to come. And if the Zionists take over this country entirely, as they're moving to do, the elimination of free speech, you can't criticize Israel. And the total subjugation of our defense budget to whatever Netanyahu says. This is what TPUSA led me to understand, and this is where we're at, and this is the progression to World War III. Now, is there a solution? Well, if we survive not going into a full-blown World War III, yes, we need to get rid of all foreign influence in our government and make it a felony, punishable by 20 years in prison, to accept money if you're a politician from a foreign country. No more foreign agent registration nonsense. Gone. We don't need this. Seriously, you say, well, don't we have to communicate with them and work things out? Yeah, that's why you have diplomats. That's why you have an ambassador, you have trade representatives, you have that, but you do not let foreign governments bribe. And when you take a dime from China, from Israel, or anywhere else, okay, you now serve two masters. What does the Bible say about serving two masters? You'll hate one and love the other. Well, the one that's paying you, Ted Cruz, has already shown you where his loyalties lie. It is not with the United States, it is with Israel. The Biden family, they weren't loyal to the United States. In fact, we've seen this with the economic disaster they left us. It was with who? With China. The House Oversight Committee under Comer showed that conclusively. No foreign donations to political campaigns of any type. No rewards, no benefits, no nothing. You serve America or you don't serve. And if you get caught, then you go to prison. Folks, we need to make this a major issue, along with insider trading. You have information, some stock's going to blow up. You make money, you go to prison. Congress, they just get rich. They're allowed to do it. Rules for thee, but not for me. Are you sick of it? Well, then take a stand. Get involved. There's nothing I can do. Well, the one place you could start is take things like this and share it far and wide. That'd be a first step, but it shouldn't be your last step. Oh, good, I'm done. I've done my job. No, you haven't. Not until we turn this around. You need to actively get involved in campaigns. I'm looking at, and I'm going to say this just openly. Boy, this will make me some enemies in Arizona where I still have some political allies. But I'm telling you right now that we're looking at, there's some prominent people. We're looking at taking not control the Republican Party, that's lost. It's a total rhino uniparty situation. We're going to break off the people that don't want to be a part of it and grow that. And in between time, a bad rhino is better than a Democrat. And the reason I say that is quite clear. They took God out of their party platform. They're repeatedly un-American. They want to violate virtually every civil liberty. And let me leave you the big thing that they have done. We are living in a time of heightened potential for domestic terrorism on an unprecedented scale that could make 9/11 look like child's play. And I'm not minimizing 9/11 at all. This is how bad it could get. And what do the Democrats do? They block funding for TSA, Airport Safety and Security, and Homeland Security, Domestic Terrorism Prevention. They're blocking the funding for the things that protect us. Why? Well, because it's related to the SAVE Act. It's related to we want every person who's not a citizen to be able to vote. No, get naturalized, and then you're allowed to vote. It's that simple. Those are our rules, and that's the rules of any country. There's nothing racist about it. Is it nationalist? Yes. But it's nationalist in the UK, in Germany, most South American countries, most Latin American countries, Central America. It's even the law in Canada that's run by a communist called Mark Carney. But we don't want to do that here. Well, I'm telling you why. The main obstacle are a few rhinos like Susan Collins, Murkowski from Alaska, and then, of course, you've got the Democratic Party. Now, there are people like John Fetterman who speak out, but his political career is over in the next election. He's going to get no money. He sided with the other side too often. You see, we used to come together in times of crisis. Republican, Democrat didn't matter. We were united. Not anymore. And I'm telling you, it looks increasingly like Saul Alinsky rules for radicals how to use communist tactics and techniques to overthrow the existing government. And that's what I'm seeing here. And one of their main strategies, well, they do two things. One, accuse your enemy of doing what it is you're doing. And number two, and here's the big one, create as much conflict and dissension as you can so they can take over in the chaos. And this is what we have right now. Unfortunately, the Trump administration allowed themselves to get tricked, basically tricked, with the help of Jared Kushner and Witkoff to get into this war that is destroying this economy and will lose the election. And who will it go to in the midterms? Trump just sowed the seeds for his own impeachment. Democrats take over the House and Senate. Doesn't matter if he's done anything wrong or not, he's gone. They'll impeach him for jaywalking. I mean, this is what they did the first time he was in office. They impeached him twice, and it was all bogus. But they didn't have the numbers. Come the midterm, they're going to have the numbers unless you step up. You say, well, I don't support Trump anymore. Well, how do you like Joseph Stalin? Because that's your option, Stalin or Trump. Seriously, bad rhinos or communist Democrats? And you know my preference, toss them all, as in let's get a website, tossthemall.com. Get rid of every rhino Republican there is in the primary. Replace them with hardworking people. Doesn't matter if they're construction workers, custodians, what they are, people that had to work for a living that don't want to be in Washington, D.C. forever because we need to put term limits on them, but will vote the right way in American interests. Plain and simple. And then I'd say this too. The JFK wish, break the CIA into 1,000 pieces, add the FBI to that, and then do a rebuild and build institutions of integrity. Simple. Get involved. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.